Case Closed, Crime Stories from the Golden Age of Radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday for another exciting episode, 60 minutes of old-time radio crime stories brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com. We'll start off this week with Jeff Regan, Investigator, and Some Enchanted Car Hop, his episode from December 21st, 1949, and it's Casey, Crime Photographer, and the Santa Claus of Bums Boulevard, their episode from December 25th, 1947.
My name's Regan. I work for Anthony J. Lyon, International Detective Bureau. They call me the Lion's Eye.
Wednesday at 9, and CBS brings you Jeff Regan, Investigator, starring Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. So stand by for mystery and suspense and adventure in tonight's story of Some Enchanted Car Hop.
It was just an ordinary drive-in hamburger joint on Vermont off Sunset, but they called it Hamburger Heaven. And just to carry out the idea, they'd hired six angels to wait on cars. Three blondes, a redhead, and two brunettes. I was lucky. I drew the redhead. Only she didn't serve up what I ordered. All she brought me was trouble. The whole thing started when there were only eight more shopping days until Christmas. I fought my way through the necktie and socks set, and by the time I reached the office, I was ready to start celebrating New Year's. But my boss, the Lion, had other ideas. When I walked in, all 280 pounds of him was up on an office stool. He was tacking a dried-up sprig of mistletoe over the door.
Jeffrey, my boy, come in. The festive season is at hand.
How's that again?
I said the festive season is at hand. I'm filled overflowing with the Yuletide spirit.
Yeah? Well, you better take those nails out of your teeth before you spring a leak.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Yeah, I guess you're right, my boy. I got carried away.
Yeah, sure. You and Tiny Tim. We're expecting women clients?
Women clients? Oh, you mean the mistletoe. Well, Jeffrey, you never can tell when a sweet young thing might accidentally happen in...
Stop drooling, Fatso. You dropped out of the mistletoe set 50 pounds ago.
Well, maybe so, but I still believe in Santa Claus. Yeah. Now, where was I?
You were up on the stool with berries in your hair.
No, I mean about the new client. What have I told you so far?
That the festive season is at hand.
Huh? Oh, then I haven't told you about our new client. His name is Ward Hamilton, Jeffrey. He was in just a few minutes ago. Fine figure of a man. Well-dressed, distinguished, and prosperous.
That explains the Christmas spirit. How much?
Jeffrey, the Christmas spirit cannot be measured in terms of money. This is the time of goodwill toward men of unselfish devotion.
Sure. How much unselfish devotion did he buy?
$50 worth. It's something about his niece, or daughter, or some friend, or something.
What about them?
Well, it seems this girl's been receiving packages, flowers, candy, that sort of thing. Well,
what's so mysterious about that? Doesn't she know it's Christmas?
Well, for some reason or other, Ward Hamilton says she's worried about them. He'll tell you all about it when you see him. The address is on the desk. It's out on Iredell Road in North Hollywood.
So I find the Santa Claus that's been sending the packages.
Say... That's right. This case does fit right in with the season, doesn't it?
Sure. And Merry Christmas to you, too, Fatso. That started it. I hopped in my sleigh and headed my reindeer out over Cahuenga Pass. Iredell Road was twin rows of California bungalows with Christmas decorations strung out in front. All except one house. It was the address Lyon had given me. Redwood front on the usual cream-colored stucco. White ranch-type fence, swimming pool in the backyard. No Christmas anywhere. Behind the fence, a big Dalmatian wagged his tail and grinned at me in a nice, friendly sort of way. Only he was growling when he did it. I circled wide and made the porch, but I didn't get as far as the doorbell.
What do you want?
Mr. Hamilton? I'm Regan, International.
Regan? Oh, yes, the detective. Come in, Mr. Regan, come in.
He was big and gray-haired, the man of distinction. But what he had in his hand wasn't a glass. It was a whip, black, 10 feet long, with lead weights at the tip.
In here. I appreciate your coming right out, Mr. Regan. I like to get prompt action.
Is that what you use that for?
Well, oh, the whip. No, no. No, just a hobby of mine. I practice hitting toy ducks floating in the swimming pool.
Oh, nice way to get use out of your pool during the winter season.
Mm, well, yes. Never mind that. Sit down, Mr. Regan. I want to tell you about Mary.
That's the niece.
Niece? No. No relation. I'm a close friend of her family's. Her parents died several years ago. There was no one else, so I've tried to take over the reins and help the girl along. It hasn't been easy.
She isn't broken to harness.
It's a nice metaphor, but it doesn't fit. Not at all. Mary Winter is a strange girl. Very strange.
She's the shy, retiring type.
Ah, I see. The detective training. You're thinking ahead, assuming that she's not attractive to men. Nothing could be further from the truth. She's a lovely girl. Very lovely. Auburn hair, green eyes, fine, firm, youthful figure. Desirable is the word, Mr. Regan. Desirable. You understand what I mean?
You make it pretty clear. So, that brings us to the anonymous packages.
For almost 6 weeks, someone has been sending Mary gifts. Almost every day. Flowers, candy, novelties, that sort of thing. No name, no indication where they come from.
Mary has no idea either?
No. But she's reacted to them badly. They're making her nervous, upset. There's something I can't afford to have happen.
Come again?
Mr. Regan, I can observe that there's little use in trying to keep anything back from you. My interest in the package matter is because of money.
Now the story begins to make sense.
Mary is strange. Perhaps I should have said peculiar. Her aversion to men is almost, well, I've been sending her to a Mr. Farthing, a human relations counselor.
A psychologist?
Something like that.
And it costs money.
Yes, it costs money. The more delay in cure, the more it costs. Frankly, Mr. Regan, I'm tired of the obligation.
She work?
Yes. She works at one of those drive-in stands, car hop.
Something wrong with that?
The place is called Hamburger Heaven, Mr. Regan.
And you want me to find the guy who sends the packages so he'll marry her, or so you can get rid of him?
It works the same either way. You'll take the job, Mr. Regan?
Sure. I'll find your guy. Maybe he'll look good under your Christmas tree. Ward Hamilton gave me the girl's address in Hollywood. It was a tired stucco four flat just off Kingsley, the home of Mary Winter, the girl who hated men. And then it was too easy. Standing out front near the curb was a little man in a trench coat. He carried an umbrella over his arm and he paced up and down watching the apartment. That was too good a bet to pass up. You going somewhere?
I beg your pardon?
Someone you know lives in there?
Why? Why, that's none of your business, sir.
The name of the friend wouldn't be Mary Winter.
Get out of my
way.
That's
what I thought. Hold it.
Wait, let go of my arm. Let go, I say.
Why are you watching Mary Winter's apartment?
I warned you. Let go. Let
answer
go.
Answer me.
Very well. I'll answer you.
The umbrella in his hand came down on my wrist, and he broke for the corner. By the time I turned, he was out of sight. On the ground, broken, was the little man's umbrella. I picked it up. Real break. Name engraved on the handle. In nice big gold letters, it said, Smith. I headed for Mary Winter's apartment. I knocked and nothing happened. Knocked again. The radio in the room told me somebody was in and liked their music loud. I tried the door and it worked. I stuck my head in to look around. A redhead came in from another room in slacks and halter. She saw me. She dived for the closet and came out wearing a coat. Then she snapped off the radio.
Get out of here!
Look, I tried knocking, but...
Get out before I call the police!
The name's Regan. Ward Hamilton sent me.
You're lying. You're trying to trick me.
Phone him. He'll tell you.
What do you want?
About the presents you've been getting. Tell me.
I'm not sure. I can't trust you.
Well, look, for the last time, I'm supposed to find out who's sending them. Either you help or you don't. Now, take your choice.
All right. I'll listen. But don't you come a step closer.
I sat down, one corner of the room,
redhead, other corner. She was tall, graceful, beautiful. Everything a guy could want. Except for the look in her eyes. Scared, hunted. I waited for her to start it.
They began several weeks ago. The presents. I don't know who is sending them or why, but I...
Any card? Identification?
No, nothing.
You sure?
You think I'd accept gifts from a stranger?
Take it easy. Nobody said that. What did Farthing tell you?
Farthing?
This human relations counselor you go to.
Oh, you know about that?
Yeah, I know about that. What did he say?
That I shouldn't worry. That I should find out.
Is that all?
Oh, you don't understand. You're like all of them. Get out of
here!
Wait,
one question. Do you know a little guy about 30, carries an umbrella, wears a trench coat, shy?
No, no!
Are you sure? Think. A little guy.
No, no, I don't know him. I've never met him in my life. Get out!
I left the redhead sobbing softly to herself. Maybe a lot of flowers and candy would be kind of nice to a lot of people during Christmas, but not to Mary Winter. She was mixed up, inside and out. I headed back to my car, and then I was mixed up. It had looked easy until I got to my car. That's when I got complications. A big complication. Fat, 40, with a gun.
Get in, Shamus.
Now what?
Your choice, Shamus.
Like what?
The Winter Dame, uh-uh.
Your property?
Not my type.
Belong to the boss?
Question, Shamus, uh-uh.
Beat it, will you?
I'm not through with you.
Okay, get through.
Stay away from Mary Winter or you get trouble. Real bad trouble. Any questions now, Shamus?
Yeah. Who pays you?
You shouldn't have asked that question.
It looked like it was going to be a real holiday season. Brotherly love all over the place. The next stop was a man named Mr. Farthing. Only the sign on the door said John J. Farthing, Human Relations Counselor. It was a plush layout. Waiting room the size of a box top. Rich, solid, lined with deep green leather chairs, brass studs. On the wall, Van Gogh, Gauguin, that kind of stuff. The receptionist was out, and I took a crack at the thick mahogany door.
Yes, come in, please.
What may I do for you, sir?
The name's Regan, international detective.
Oh, sit down, Mr. Regan. Now, is something troubling you?
Girl named Winter. Mary Winter.
Go on, Mr. Regan.
She's a patient of yours?
Why do you ask?
A couple of questions about her.
I see.
Since you know her background, I thought you could fill me in on a few things. I said
since... I heard you, Mr. Regan.
Well?
Perhaps, sir, you're aware of the nature of my work. Since I assume you're an intelligent man, I don't believe it's necessary to be much more explicit than that.
Try it for size.
Very well. Cigarette, Mr. Regan?
Thanks.
There is in existence a code of ethics. Some practitioners call it the Hippocratic Oath. I'm not a doctor, as you know, yet I too, Mr. Regan, have a moral code.
I'm listening.
Nothing in my code, either morally, ethically, or in any other way, allows me to discuss the affairs of my patients. Is that clear?
Yeah. That's clear.
I'm sorry I can't assist you in whatever it is you're trying to do, Mr. Regan. I'd like to help, but as you see, my hands are tied.
That makes two of us. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Mr. Farthing, gray suit, ivory cigarette holder, and gold cufflinks, stood up and shook hands solemnly. I left. He'd given me nothing. And there was only one thing wrong with that. Mr. Farthing was right. I decided to check in with my boss, Anthony J. Lyon.
International Detective Agency, Anthony...
Save it for the customers, Fatso.
Jeffrey, where have you been?
Look, I just started this business 2 hours ago. What's eating you?
Just this. I have here in my office with me a young man. He has an interesting story, Jeffrey. It seems he's been sending gifts to one Mary Winter.
What?
That's correct, Regan, the man you're supposed to be looking for. Well, don't just stand there. Get over here at once. This young man can't wait all day for lazy detectives. And besides, he needs help.
He needs help.
Yeah, that's right, Jeffrey. The man you were supposed to find. He His life's in danger.
This is CBS, and you're listening to Jeff Regan, Investigator, in tonight's adventure, Some Enchanted Car Hop.
It started when a guy named Ward Hamilton hired the Lion and me to find out who was sending packages to a car hop named Mary Winter. I met a little guy with an umbrella and a big guy with a gun, and a human relations counselor who called himself Mr. Farthing. Then I phoned my boss, Anthony J. Lyon, and found the mysterious Santa Claus who'd been sending the girl gifts had walked right into our office. When I got there, I found the Lyon sitting with his fingertips touching as he talked to the man across the desk from him. Like I guessed, it was the same guy I'd seen outside Mary Winter's apartment. The little guy, 30, trench coat, and nervous.
Jeffrey, come in. I want you to meet our new client, Mr. Smith. Mr. Ernest Smith, he's in trouble.
Well, if he isn't, he should be.
Jeffrey, what on earth do you mean?
I found your Mr. Smith outside the girl's apartment. He wasn't looking for frost on those windows.
No, Mr. Regan, that's...
What Mr. Smith is trying to say, Jeffrey, is that that's not true. Mr. Smith is in real trouble.
You sell it to him?
Jeffrey, how can you say such a thing? Mr. Smith feels his life is in danger, hence he has retained us to act in his behalf.
That's true, Mr. Regan. I'll admit I sent the gifts to Miss Winter. I didn't know...
Get to the point.
Now I'm afraid. Since I saw you this afternoon, someone's following me.
Fat guy, big coat.
Yes. I came here for help. Someone doesn't like my sending the gifts.
Well, that's real bright. Well, you can start with Mary Winter.
She doesn't like them, Mr. Regan?
Then there's a guy named Hamilton.
She's married?
We call him a guardian, family friend.
Oh.
Finish your story.
I like Miss Winter. I wanted to do something for her.
So you've been sending her anonymous presents for almost 6 weeks. Isn't that carrying the Christmas spirit too far?
Well, I like her. That's not abnormal, is it, Mr. Regan?
Yeah, of course not, Mr. Smith.
You keep out of this, Fatso.
Yeah, but Jeffrey, our client...
We got another client named Hamilton, remember? Besides, you haven't met the girl.
Neither have I.
What?
I've never met Mary Winter. Is that abnormal, Mr. Regan? Oh, dear. Dear, perhaps I'm sicker than Mr. Farthing told me.
Say that again.
Mr. Farthing, my human relations counselor, he takes care of me.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe this is going to add up. You've never met Mary Winter?
No.
No, but you've seen her. You've seen her in the waiting room of Farthing's office.
Why, Mr. Regan, how on earth did you guess? That's exactly it. She was reading a copy of Reader's Digest, and I was reading an old National Geographic. It was a fall
day. Never mind. Well, Lyon, I think that wraps that up.
Jeffrey, what do you mean?
Mary Winter is afraid of unknown guy sending packages. Unknown guy turns out to be Smith. Take Smith to Mary, show her he's harmless. Collect our fee.
But Jeffrey, what about Mr. Smith? What about the man who's following him?
Maybe he just imagined it. Come on, Smith. We're going to visit a redhead. The Lyon didn't believe Smith imagined it any more than I did. But he only sputtered, and I loaded Smith into the car and headed out to Mary Winter's apartment. It looked simple, then, like a glass of mild eggnog. What I didn't know was that somebody had slipped me a zombie. It was turning dark when we pulled up in front of the place. Smith stayed at my heels like a sheepdog. I knocked. This time, she opened the door.
Oh, Mr. Regan, what are you doing here?
Brought you a Christmas present. Only this one's harmless.
Oh, no.
Take
no.
it easy, sweetheart. Just a guy named Smith. You might even like him.
No, please go away. Please go away.
Smith and I walked on in, and Mary backed into a chair in the far corner of the room. She and Smith looked at each other and didn't say anything, so I waited for the sparks to die out of her eyes. But they didn't. There was something else on her mind.
This is the man who sent the packages.
You guessed it. Smith, Mary Winter. Mary Winter, Smith.
Get him out of here!
Huh?
I said get him out of here before he kills me!
Oh, no.
Sit down. Now, just a minute, lady. He won't hurt anybody.
Just take it easy, will you? Quiet.
That's what you're like.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Now, listen, sweetheart, wait a minute. It's Christmas. You've heard of that, I think, haven't you? People send presents to each other because it makes them feel good. Now, Smith sent you presents for the same reason.
He's going to kill me. You're like he is, trying to trap me.
Oh, that does it.
All right. Look at this.
What, a card?
It came in a box of flowers. It was delivered here to my apartment tonight.
Each man kills the thing he loves.
Well, Regan, try and explain that. Try and...
Shut up. Did you send this, Smith?
No, Mr. Regan. I didn't send it. I sent flowers and candy and nice things.
Mr. Regan, at the window!
I left them with their mouths open and ran for the hall, and then outside. The girl may have had an overworked imagination, but her mind didn't knock over that garbage can. It was dark and peaceful and still outside. Me and a half moon and nobody else. And then I saw him, thick-set, crouched, moving away from the window. I dove after him. We went down together as his hand came out of his pocket. A heavy gray .45 got itself in my direction, and I grabbed at the wrist behind him. The gun fell into the rosebush, but he got to his feet.
I warned you once, Shamus. Stay away from that girl.
Who said so?
Never mind. Get off the chase now, before it's too late. It'll only mean... No!
Were you gonna say... Trouble? The big guy was 200 pounds of unconscious as I bent over him. A heavy camel hair coat was wrapped around him. The same guy I'd seen before. I unbuttoned the coat, figuring some identification might help, only when it came open, I didn't need any more. He was wearing a tailored starched jacket. It wasn't the kind you see every day. It was white. That gave me the lead I needed, and I headed fast for my car. 10 minutes later, I stopped at a drugstore on my way out to the valley. I phoned the Lion and told him to check on Farthing. Then I headed the car out Cahuenga. The pass was crowded with home-from-work traffic. It took me 25 minutes to make Ira Del Road and the home of Ward Hamilton. This time, the Dalmatian was out for the night. But Ward Hamilton wasn't. He opened the door.
Well, Mr. Regan, come in. You work late.
Our time clock's out of order.
Oh, perhaps you'd like one for Christmas.
No, thanks. Wouldn't fit in my sock.
Well, Mr. Regan, I take it by this visit that you have good news for me.
Call it that.
You know who's been sending the girl those gifts?
A guy named Smith.
How's that again?
Smith, Ernest Smith, his birth certificate says.
I'm afraid I've never heard of him, Mr. Regan.
He saw Mary in the waiting room of Farthing's office. Never met her. Shy little guy.
Well, now isn't that something? Well, I must say, Mr. Regan, you did a remarkably fast job.
There's something else you ought to know, Hamilton. Chances are Farthing's a phony.
Mr. Farthing?
Looks like.
Why, it seems absurd.
Just thought I'd let you know. Want me to go on with the case?
What do you mean, Mr. Regan?
I found your guy, Smith. That's what you hired me for. And when I get to Farthing, he'll sing like a prima donna.
Sing?
Talk.
Well, then keep going.
Okay, Hamilton. It's your money.
It's your life, Mr. Regan. Be careful.
I made a fast phone call to the Lion on my way back into town, and that tied it up. Farthing was working late when I got there, only when he looked up and saw me, he wasn't happy.
What do you want?
Conversation, a lot of it.
Mr. Regan... I must ask why you've come to my office at this hour.
I told you, for conversation.
Then I may regard this whole thing as a sort of joke?
Maybe. Only the laughs you'll get wouldn't get by even on television.
I demand an explanation of your attitude.
Fair enough. Start with your name. Not Farthing, it's Farnham, Howard Farnham.
Hmm?
You want more?
Where did you get that?
I had a phone conversation with my boss. He's got ways of getting things. Like your record. 5 arrests bunco, 1 arrest forgery, 1 arrest fraud.
No convictions.
You were lucky. Maybe you won't be this time.
You haven't got anything on me, Regan?
How about blackmail?
Not a chance.
Maybe not yet. Only you were getting set for a job. I believe the guy's name was Hamilton.
You can't prove it.
Well, it was your mug, the big guy in the white jacket. He meant business. Does he do your legwork?
Listen, Regan, you can't pin blackmail on me. Sure, maybe I had ideas, but I don't claim I'm a doctor. I don't hand out any pills. Just advice, Regan. That's all. Just advice.
That's too bad. You know, there are a lot of people that take phonies like you seriously, Farnham. A lot of people that could use advice. Real advice.
Mine's real. They say, should I marry him? And I say, yes or no, depending...
On how much there is in it for you.
What do you want from me, Regan?
Who paid you to put the B on Mary Winter?
Never mind, Farthing. You won't have to answer that.
Come on in, Hamilton. I've been waiting for you.
You're bragging, Mr. Regan.
It made sense if I could get you to join Farthing and me. You might have something to say. You're showing up. Check my story.
What story?
Like this. Man named Hamilton's supposed to look out for a young redhead named Mary Winter. Only Hamilton takes one look at this number and suddenly he's not fatherly anymore. He decides to move in for himself.
It's absurd.
Is it? You convinced the girl she couldn't trust any man in the world but you. Should have been the other way around. You're the one she couldn't trust. Isn't that right, Farthing?
Leave me out of this, Regan. I run a legitimate business.
Leave you out? Well, that wouldn't be fair. You were the guy Hamilton came to with money. He paid you to tell Mary Winter who was the man for her. Am I right, Farthing?
You're lying, Regan.
No, no, I'm not. Everything worked fine until along came a nice, shy little guy with an umbrella, Mr. Smith. Met Mary in Farthing's waiting room, starting sending her presents. You know, that must have really stopped you, Hamilton, trying to figure out who was cutting in on your Romeo act.
Regan, I've had enough out of you. I thought you were getting nosy.
You hired me to find the guy, and I did. End of story. Except if anybody should happen to tell Mary Winter what kind of a guy you really are, Hamilton, you might suddenly find yourself out of a lifetime career.
You'll never tell her, Regan. I'll see to that.
Forget one item. For a last touch, you send Mary a threatening note. Really put the pressure on. You're washed up, Hamilton.
This revolver says I'm not, Mr. Regan. Farthing, come over here out of the way. We're going to take care of Mr. Regan.
Self-defense, not a chance with Farthing's record. Am I right, Farnham?
Do as I say, Farthing.
Go ahead, Farnham, go ahead. Murder will look good on your list.
I won't play ball, Hamilton. I told the girl what you wanted, but I'm not in this. It's your fight.
I can make it yours.
Don't try it.
I am as good with this gun, gentlemen, as I am with a whip.
Farnham, watch out! Farnham ducked as I hit Hamilton's wrist. The bullet buried itself in the desktop and the gun hit the floor. I got the gun as Hamilton moved in fast. Only what he got for his trouble was the barrel across his head. Farnham crawled up to his chair and sat down, puffing. I let him catch his breath. When I waved the gun in his direction, he didn't mind phoning the police. The heavy guy in the white jacket showed up bright and early for work the next morning, and the cop greeted him with a pair of handcuffs. He got off with assault and battery, and Farnham, alias Farthing, made the blotter for a light charge. Hamilton wasn't that lucky. His read assault with intent to kill. It was noon when I got to the lion's office. He was admiring the Christmas tree stuck in the corner. And from the sounds that came out of his mouth, it looked like his holiday fever was becoming serious.
Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the king of... hello, Jeffrey.
They're looking for a replacement for Vaughn Monroe?
Jeffrey, how unkind. It's the season for songs. Sunday is Christmas, my boy.
And today is payday.
so it is. Well, perhaps I could manage a small token, a sign of my gratitude.
Thanks.
By the way, what about Mary Winter, the car hop? How is the girl, Jeffrey?
Oh, I left her with Smith last night when I went after Farthing's mug.
Jeffrey, you didn't. Alone together? And that girl hating all men and that boy shy, backwards? Jeffrey, how could you? How cruel.
It's too late now, Lion. Maybe we'll read about it in the afternoon paper.
Double murder.
Double hamburger.
What did you say?
I drove by Mary's drive-in this morning. There was a car parked there.
Jeffrey, you mean...
Little guy behind the wheel, trench coat, umbrella. He looked an awful lot like our boy Smith.
And then you talked to them?
For a minute.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Tell me, Jeffrey, tell me. What did Mary say?
She said, with or without onions? Merry Christmas, Lion.
Merry Christmas, Jeffrey.
Jeff Regan, Investigator, is written by William Frug and William Fifield, produced by Sterling Tracy, directed by Gordon T. Hughes, and stars Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. Original music is by Dick Arant. Jeff Regan, Investigator, is heard each week at the same time over CBS. Bob Stevenson speaking and inviting you to be with us again next week at this same time for Jeff Regan Investigator. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Hiya, Casey.
Hi, Ethelbert.
How did Santa Claus treat you?
Fine, just fine. I'm so full of Christmas spirit, I could even kiss the city editor.
What do you know? And me, I could even forgive and forget one or two of those Christmas neckties.
Hey, some of those things are Lulus. You ought to see the one Marvin got. It lights up and spells a message.
Well, anyway, it's a beautiful sentiment.
What's it say?
The most wonderful words. Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, the Santa Claus of Bums Boulevard. Christmas. About 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the Blue Note Cafe. Ethelbert, the head bartender, gazes sympathetically at the two glum faces opposite him, sighs, and...
Casey, I know just how you and Miss Williams feel. It ain't right to have to work on Christmas Day.
The three of us should have different jobs, Ethelbert.
And say, Ethelbert, where's Herman Chittison?
Now, he's having Christmas dinner with his family, the lucky dog. Johnny Paul dropped in to play the piano for us today.
Oh, good. Oh, my holidays don't mean a thing in our racket, Ethelbert. Newspapers must be printed.
And guys in my profession have to stand behind bars and make with bottles.
And lemons.
Oh, well, it might be worse. At least we ain't got families.
Well, that's what makes it worse for me. My family's 1,000 miles away.
I haven't got a family anywhere.
Well, you've got sisters, Casey.
Sure, they're all married. They all got families of their own, and all 2,000 miles away.
My sister Edna ain't married, but you know Edna.
Yeah. Well, let's can this deep philosophical discussion, Annie. Get started for Hackett Street.
Hackett Street?
We have an assignment down there.
That's the crummiest street in town. Nothing but gin mills, flop houses, and bums.
Yeah, it's Bums Boulevard.
Why's your paper send you down there on Christmas?
For a story, of course.
Yeah. Ethelbert, you know, for the past 2 years, at exactly 1:30 on Christmas Day, a guy has shown up at the corner of Hackett and Finley with a wad of new $1 bills, which he's handed out to all the rummies around there. Then when his wad is gone, he's beat it, without telling anybody who he is, where he's from, or anything.
If he shows up again this year, City Desk wants pictures of him and a complete yarn about him. We'll play him up as the Santa Claus of Bums Boulevard.
The guy must be nuts, giving good dough away to a bunch of lushes who'll spend it on nothing better than cheap hooch. What kind of a guy is he?
Oh, probably a publicity hound, I guess. Well, come on, let's get started, Annie.
Yeah, we haven't too much time before 1:30. So long, Ethelbert.
So long, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it'll be a very merry and very Christmassy Christmas among the panhandlers and drunks we're going to see. You know, the holiday spirit's a lot of malarkey anyway, unless you got a family. Come on, Annie.
Yeah, you're right, Casey.
Yeah, he's right. Walter, bring up some lemons.
See, we're terribly late. That man will have given away his dollar bills and be gone by the time we get
there. Annie, can I help it if we ran out of gas 4 blocks from the nearest open filling station?
You could have had the tank filled before it went dry.
Oh, sure. I'm wrong. I'm always wrong to hear you tell it. All you women do is nag.
And a Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, I'm sorry, kid. I'm a dope.
I'm sorry. I love the bracelet you gave me, Casey.
Huh?
Yeah. You have exquisite taste.
It looks swell on you. Hey, I wanted to get you a ring.
A ring?
Yeah, with your birthstone. Amethyst. See, I know it.
Oh.
I didn't see any I liked.
It's just as well. I don't care for amethysts and rings.
No?
No.
Oh. Wish I could afford a family of my own, Annie.
What makes you think you can?
My pay envelope, the cost of living. Well, maybe someday.
And maybe when that someday comes, no woman will want you.
You may have something there. I've been a bachelor so long, Annie, it's become a habit. You know, this morning when I woke up in my dinky little apartment, I felt, empty and lonely and useless. I haven't got a home.
I felt the same way.
I wonder, maybe, Annie, if the two of us...
What about... the two of us.
Well, I... Oh, nuts. Look at this crummy street and the people on it. How can anybody think of home and a family life down here? How can anybody believe in anything or dream of anything? Every one of these bums, Annie, had big ideas once, and now look at him.
The street is frightening, isn't it?
If anybody reaches here, he's finished.
It's the last stop. There's a crowd lined up at the next corner, Casey.
Yeah.
Is that where they...
Yeah, that's the place where the dollar bill Santa Claus has shown up before.
Well, maybe he's been there and gone.
Mm-mm. No, if that were so, those rum-dums wouldn't be standing in line. They'd all be in the nearest gin mill spending the dough or fighting to get it away from each other. Well, I'll park the car here and walk the rest of the way.
Yeah, the car may be safer away from that mob.
That's how I figure. Let's see, I got the camera. Lock the car. Okay, let's go.
It's 1:45, Casey. According to his previous schedule, Santa Claus is 15 minutes late. Maybe he won't show up.
It'll be a big Christmas thirst on Bums Boulevard if he doesn't. I'm sorry.
Pardon, mister. I didn't see you.
It's okay, sister. Take it easy now.
I'm all right. Don't I know you?
I don't think so. Holy... Miss Arnold.
We're both mistaken. I don't know you, and you don't know me. Excuse me for bumping you. Goodbye.
Casey, what?
Annie, that dame is Julia Arnold.
Julia Arnold?
She was a big actress, a great star.
Julia? She was a Broadway sensation when I was in college. Why, she was beautiful. Oh, Casey, that woman can't be...
The way she denied her identity proves she is, Annie. I heard that Julia Arnold hit the skids, but...
Oh.
She was married to a nice guy who got killed in the war, and then her kid died, and she... It's not nice, is it?
And spare dime, mister. Mr. Dime.
I guess, old-timer. Let me see.
I ain't a drinking man, mister. I'll spend it for food, not liquor.
You don't look like a rummy.
I ain't. I'm just old. You can ask anybody around here about Smitty. That's me. They'll tell you Smitty don't drink, don't steal. The worst they'll tell you about Smitty is he's just too old.
Look, I haven't got any small change, Smitty. Here's a buck.
Oh, and here's another for me.
$2? Oh, God bless you, boy.
Forget it.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.
You didn't look like a faker, Casey.
No, just old.
Christmas.
There are plenty of fakers in that mob we're coming to, though.
Oh, they look like a line of zombies.
Yeah. Dead and won't lie down. Uh-oh, not that big guy over there, though, Annie. That big, heavy-set mug, the green lumberjack coat.
Why, he looks like a prize fighter.
I know that guy. His name is Boots Driscoll. He's a yellow skunk. He's mean as a copperhead. You know, that louse would steal pennies from Kid, and he's the boss of Bums Boulevard.
I gather you don't like him.
I don't.
Well, look who's here.
Hello, Boots.
Hi, Casey. I ain't seen you since...
Yeah, since the last time you came out of the big house.
That's right. Who's the good-looking dame with you?
This lady's a friend of mine.
Well, ain't she gonna introduce us?
Nope.
Oh, what are you doing down here in my territory?
Came to get a line on the screwball who hands out new dollar bills on Christmas. Apparently he's late.
Yeah, the louse. When he shows up, I get a good mind to kick his head in.
Yeah, not until after he hands out his dough, of course. You think he'll show up?
The folks think so because they want to think it. Me? I just stick around and keep everybody in line.
So you got them all lined up?
Yeah. First come, first served, if and when Santa Claus gets here. All right, stop pushing, you bums. Get back in line there.
Of course, you get something for your policing service.
Well, why not? Them jerks would tear one another to pieces fighting for a grab at them bucks like they did last year if I wasn't around. This year, I'm taking a cut of 35 cents out of every bum here to keep things peaceful.
Boots, you've got all the instincts of a big racketeer.
I'll say.
Where's the racket part? This is a legitimate business.
I guess it is at that for you. This way you're getting the dough without using a gat or brass knuckles.
Say, if that's meant as a crack...
Skip it, Boots. I'm nearly as big as you are.
Boots!
What?
Casey, that awful looking man.
Boots!
What do you want, Creep?
Creep's a good name for him.
Hey, the guy who passes out dough. Santa Claus. I just found him.
You found him?
Yeah. In the alley back of Fritz's gin mill. Somebody socked him on the head and took all his dough. I think the guy's dead.
Dead?
Dead.
Dead.
Yeah, dead.
Dead. Hey, you bums stay here. Show me, Creep.
Yeah, come on.
We're going too, Annie.
I'll say we are.
There he is, Boots. Lying behind them beer cakes.
Yeah, I see him, Creep. His pockets have been turned out. He's been rolled.
There ain't a dime left on him.
You'd be sure of that.
He's so still, Casey. Is he dead?
No. His heart's good and strong, and he's only been knocked out.
Oh, he's such a little man. Such a mild, gentle-looking little man. Oh, who could have done
I'll find out who took the dough he meant to give us, and when I do...
Shut up, Boots. The guy just opened his eyes. He's coming, too.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Just a guy who wants to help you, mister.
My head aches.
Be a miracle if it didn't. Been slugged hard.
Yes. Something hit me.
Did you see the rat who hit you? The rat who took your dough?
My dough?
Yeah, you've been rolled, fella. Your money's gone.
Oh, the money.
Who got it?
I can't say.
How much did you have on you?
$300 in new $1 bills.
$300?
Maybe the cops can get it back. Annie, see if you can find
a
telephone.
No, no. No, don't call the police.
Why not? You've been assaulted and robbed.
But my head doesn't hurt very much now. I haven't been really injured. And I'm sure the thief will return the money.
Return?
When he becomes aware that it belongs to his neighbors, to his comrades down here. You see, I meant to give it away.
You think the thief will return it on that account?
When he thinks about it, yes.
This guy must be nuts.
Thieves can be good people.
Mister, you haven't been around much.
You've got as much chance of getting that dough back as I have of being elected a Supreme Court judge.
If you had taken the money, wouldn't you return it under the circumstances?
Me? Of course. I'm different.
Well, you're different from the guy who got the 300, Boots. He has it and you haven't. But maybe I'm wrong.
Hey, what do you mean?
At what time do you think you were hit and robbed, mister?
I entered the alley at about 20 minutes of 2.
And I've been on that corner where you met me, Casey, ever since 1 o'clock. Every bum in that line will say so. You can't pin this on me.
Okay, Boots, but you should understand my natural suspicion.
Yeah.
Ew, Creep.
Yes, sir.
What were you doing in this alley when you found him?
Well, I was just walking through, honest. I seen a foot sticking out from the back of them kegs, and when I looked closer, there this guy was. Well, I didn't take his toe, Boots. Don't look at me like that.
I believe you, Creep. Why shouldn't I?
Well, I don't.
Let go of my collar.
Shut up, Creep. Mr. Santa Claus, whether you like it or not, I'm going to find a cop and have this Creep guy searched.
Wait. You're not the wrong person. And I will make no complaint.
What?
There's nothing you can do, Casey, if that's how the little guy wants it.
It is how I want it.
You gotta let me go.
Okay. Insist on being a sap, mister. It's your hard luck, not mine. Well, come on, Annie. Let's get out of here.
Oh, I'd like to, Casey, but I've been assigned to interview this gentleman.
Oh, no, that's so, yeah.
Interview me?
Yeah. To begin with, what's your name?
Why, Shepherd.
Shepherd?
Yes.
First name? Oh, Casey, catch him.
I got him.
Hey, the guy passed out.
The crack on the head did more damage than he admitted.
Look, there's a clinic up the street. We'll get him to a doc.
I guess you can take care of him alone, huh, Casey?
Yes, I won't need your help.
We parked our car near here, this alley, Casey's not.
Okay, Annie. Right.
Well, I'll be getting along myself, Boots. So long.
Oh, no, Creep.
Hey, why are you grabbing my arm?
You're gonna give me that $300 you took.
Our story will continue in just a moment. All of us at Anchor Hocking want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We hope that this great day has brought you all the joys that were so carefully planned. The gaily decorated tree, the happy exchange of gifts, the reminiscences of a united family group. Yes, Christmas is a great day for getting together, a time of goodwill, good cheer, and good food. Food that you can buy with all its freshness, taste, and purity, perfectly preserved. For this, we have to thank the many great organizations who process and ship us our better foods and who know that flavor, purity, and freshness are best preserved in clean, sanitary glass containers. Containers that preserve and safeguard flavor and taste while they permit you to see in advance exactly what you're buying. Anchor Hocking is proud that so many of the leading brands of food of all kinds come to you in Anchor glass containers sealed with Anchor caps. Products of Anchor Hocking. The most famous name in glass.
Are you sure you feel all right now, Mr. Shepard?
Yes, Miss Williams. Doc said you got a really nasty crack on the head. I'll drive you home. He wants you to stay in bed for a few days.
Thank you, but men are seldom as sick as their learned physicians say. I'm quite all right.
Just the same, we're taking you to your home.
Yeah, where do you live?
Very close by.
What? You mean in this neighborhood?
Yes, but I have some unfinished business to attend to before I lie down, Mr. Casey. That money hasn't been returned yet.
If you get it back, Mr. Shepard, I'll believe in the faith that moves mountains.
Mountains have been moved by steam shovels, Miss Williams. And man's faith in himself created the steam shovel.
By that you mean you're going to do something to persuade the thief?
I shall only remain near the thief so he can find me.
I don't get you.
Casey.
Huh?
Look.
Holy. It's that creep guy.
His face is terribly bruised.
He must have crashed into a 10-ton truck.
Yeah, he's dragging himself along.
Hey, creep, what happened to you?
How did...
Boots. Boots beat me up.
Boots?
In the alley. After you left.
Why?
He thought I took that $300. He beat me up and then searched me. But he didn't find it, because I didn't have it. Hey, buy me a drink, will you? I need a drink.
Look, we're going to take you into the clinic and get you patched up.
No. When the docs get the mitts on guys like me, they send us to the hospital where we can't get no liquor. So just buy me a shot, mister, huh? That's all I need.
We'll serve this man best by doing as he asks, Casey. At the moment, his body needs its accustomed alcohol more than his bruises need medical treatment.
You're a wise guy, mister. You're a real gent.
Unfortunately, I have no money to give him.
All right, creep, I'll buy you a drink. And I'll go into a gin mill with you. While you tell me more about finding Mr. Shepard in that alley.
I already told you all I know.
Now, we'll talk about that later. Come on. We're going to this joint here.
Oh, this is an awful place, Casey.
Yeah, it is. You stay outside, Annie.
Oh, why should I? There's another woman at the bar.
Huh? Yes. That's Julia Arnold.
Oh, I see. The actress.
Yeah. You coming in too, Mr. Shepard?
Yes, thank you.
Hey, Gus. Hey, give me a shot, huh? Give me a shot, quick.
Not till I see you got the dough to pay for it, creep.
I'm paying for his drink.
Oh. Well, you gents and lady have.
Nothing for me.
Oh, me either.
I'll have a little wine.
Hey. One of the gents ain't ashamed to have a drink with the likes of me, Gus.
What kind of wine, mister?
Plain red wine.
Alky for me, Gus, and quick.
Okay.
All right, now we'll do some talking, creep. Mr. Shepard says he went into that alley at around 20 minutes of 2. Where were you at that time?
Mr. Casey, no purpose can be served by questioning this man. I'm making no complaint to the police, and I...
You may condone a crime, Shepard, but I don't.
I don't condone the crime. I'm forgiving it.
Well, we wouldn't have much law and order if everyone did that.
Perhaps we'd have more, Miss Williams.
This guy just don't care about $300, eh?
Here your drinks.
Give me, Gus.
The money wasn't mine, Mr. Casey. I'd have given it away in another few minutes.
And a lot of good it would have done him. A buck apiece that'd slide across bars like this for raw alcohol. Mr. Shepard, you seem like an awful nice guy, but it's time somebody taught you the facts of life.
Few can teach the facts of life, Mr. Casey. Few but little children. Because man forgets the simplicity of childhood, he forgets that all the world is one great family. I think our friend Creep would like another drink.
Yeah. And thanks a million, mister.
Hey, Gus.
Okay, creep. Be with you in a minute.
Hey, Gus.
What do you want, Julie?
Another drink, of course.
You drank up the bucket, Gammy.
No, Casey, that fine actress.
Come here, Gus. Come here.
There's nothing anybody can do for her, Annie. Julia Arnold's hit bottom.
Look, I fooled you, Gus. I held out. I got another dollar bill.
Another brand new one, Julia.
Yeah, another new.
Where'd you get this dough? When you were in here this noon, you said you didn't have a dime.
Casey.
Julie found them, Gus. I found them, and I got more hid away.
You hear that, Shepard? I heard. When she leaves this place, we follow.
She's turned it into the same alley where you were robbed, Mr. Shepard.
I see, Miss Williams.
We saw her come out of that same alley just a little while before Creep found you.
Poor woman.
Yeah, it's a rotten shame. Julia Arnold was a fine person once.
She can be a fine person again. Casey, why didn't you let Creep come here with us?
Oh, because these bums all stick together. I know how they act. He might have tipped off Julia Arnold that we're trailing her.
She's going down into that cellar, Casey.
Come on, we don't want to lose her.
Wait. That man...
Boots Driscoll.
He was hiding behind those ash cans. Now he's going down in the cellar.
As though he were watching for Julia Arnold, as though he's following her now. Come on, let's go.
There are rooms down here.
She probably lives in this cellar.
Yeah, but which door?
Get out of here!
Her
Get
voice.
Out!
That door, Casey.
No! No!
We're going in, all right. What? Let her go, Boots.
I didn't.
I said let her go.
Broke my arm.
What's the big idea, Boots?
I'll ask her.
He came to rob me. He said he'd make me tell where my money was hidden.
And you're going to tell me, all of you. Stick up your hands.
Casey.
The man has a gun.
I see.
Stick him up, I said.
Okay, Boots. But you're losing what little mind you ever had. A lousy $300
is worth. Ah, shut up, Casey. This is my territory. I'm boss, and I don't take no double crossing. Hand it over, Julie, or...
I haven't $300. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hand it over.
Don't shoot. I'll give you what I have. I found $6 bills in the alley today. You have the four I have left.
You're bluffing, but I ain't. Give me that $300. Keep back, Casey. You get it first.
You're crazy, Boots. Listen.
Shut up. This is your last chance, Julie. Give me that $300 or...
Don't, Boots.
Huh?
She ain't got it.
Creep.
I got it. I stole it and I hid it. Here it is.
You lousy double-crosser.
Mr. Shepard, I'm sorry for what I did to you. I ain't never been no good. Standing at that bar with you, you drinking with me like I wasn't just a rat. I don't know. I had to get the dough I'd hidden and bring it to you. I'm sorry I had to hand it over to Boots.
You gave it to him to save this woman's life, Creep.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I did. Another thing, I dropped them six new dollar bills on purpose in the alley when I saw Julie coming so she'd find them and spend them and take the rap for me.
There'll be no rap for anyone.
You said it. None of you birds are gonna live to squeal on me.
You don't want to shoot us, Boots.
Don't I?
Do you?
I got myself in too deep.
Not yet. You haven't taken life. Your life isn't finished.
I ain't gonna finish it and stir. I got a chance and none of you talk.
Yes, you have. Why don't you shoot us, Boots?
Well, I'm gonna.
When?
Shut up. I can't shoot a guy who talks like you do.
Words have never stopped a bullet or a true desire.
Nuts. Here, Casey, take this gat and this dough and send for the cops. I'm tired of being a phony tough guy.
Shall I send for the cops, Mr. Shepard?
If you wish, Casey.
You're running this.
We have $300. Everyone seems to agree that my original plan for its distribution was unwise. What do you suggest we do with it? May I have your suggestion, Creep?
I tried to frame Julie. Give it to her.
And your suggestion, Boots?
Give it to Julie.
It's yours, Miss Arnold.
Mine? $300. Oh, I can buy a decent dress.
Once I earned that much for a single performance, I can do it again.
If you believe so.
But I don't need this money you intended for the poor. I'm not poor. God gave me gifts I've squandered. I still have some left. They're all I need. Give this money to the really poor.
What shall I do with it, Casey? Mr. Shepherd? You're still running this.
We'll join the crowd at the Blue Note in just a moment. Perhaps among your Christmas gifts, you received a beautiful set of jadeite dinnerware. Then you already know how attractive it will look on your table. And in the months to come, you'll learn that jadeite dinnerware is as sturdy and heatproof as it is lovely to look at. You'll be proud of your jadeite dinnerware because of its beautiful texture, its color, its flawless design. And your guests will hardly believe that this jade green dinnerware costs so little. But incredible as it may seem, you can buy a 35-piece jadeite dinner service, including 6 cups, 6 saucers, 6 dessert plates, 6 salad plates, 6 dinner plates, 1 vegetable bowl, a platter, and a sugar and creamer set for less than $5. And jadeite is also available in open stock at chain stores, department stores, and most other stores selling chinaware and glass. Remember the name, jadeite. And that's spelled J-A-D-E-I-T-E. Jadeite, the newest triumph of Anchor Hocking. The most famous name in glass.
So Mr. Shepherd gave the dough to that old man who panhandled you and Miss Williams, huh, Casey?
Yeah. Smitty, who didn't drink and didn't steal. It was just old.
What do you suppose Smitty did with it, Ethelbert?
How should I know?
He was so happy, he had to make others feel the same way. He played Santa Claus.
You mean?
Yeah. He stood on a corner of Bums Boulevard and handed out those dollar bills.
Funny, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was like a little child who hadn't forgotten that all the world is one big family.
That's a pretty thought.
I got it from Mr. Shepherd.
He sounds like a very interesting guy. What'd you find out about him, Miss Williams? Him personal, I mean.
Nothing. While we were watching old Smitty give his money away, Mr. Shepherd wandered off and we lost him.
Think you'll find him again?
Well, I hope so.
So do I.
But you don't know his address or even what business he's in?
No. But he told me he was once a carpenter.
Prime Photographer, starring Stotts Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hocking Glass Corporation. Makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures. All products of Anchor Hocking, the most famous name in glass. Is directed by John Deese. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Van Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hocking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Case Closed for this week. You can find past episodes of this show at RelicRadio.com alongside links to our forum, all the other shows, our Shoutcast stream, everything Relic Radio is linked to right on the front page. So donate button there as well if you'd like to help support this and all the shows, help keep them going. Thank you as always to those who have, and thank you for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.